Well, good morning and welcome back to the God School. We are doing a study in the book of Romans called The Christian's Journey as Seen Through Romans. And last week, we ended in the 17th verse of the 10th chapter. And if you're just joining, my hope is that you will make the time to go back and to listen to the previous teachings out of this series. Today, we're going to do something that may amaze you. In the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I wasn't going to go here, but you know, hopefully God is leading this study. In the 9th verse, it says of the Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The Hebrew word is shamua. It means something heard. The root is to stun, to stupefy, to make amazed. The 18th verse of this 10th chapter of Romans. Well, let's stay with the 17th verse. First of all, I want to give you an alternative translation to the King James translation. And I find this to be most appropriate, a most appropriate translation of the 17th verse, and it's by Goodspeed. It says, so faith comes from hearing what is told, and that hearing comes through the message about Christ. What he has done. And Paul has, for 10 and a half chapters, been telling us about Christ and what he has done. And he is extolling faith from the very beginning of his message, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And Goodspeed tells us that faith comes from hearing about hearing the message about Christ. The 18th verse says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, I have read commentary after commentary after commentary, and I'm not judging, I'm certainly not condemning commentators' gifts of God to his church, for the most part. But I don't find one who will elaborate what Paul is saying here. He says, have they not all heard? Yes, truly, yes, amen. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. Paul is quoting Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 opens and it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is Jesus Christ. That's the way God chose to show himself off, and that through Jesus Christ. Let's read. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. There is a universal language, folks. And it is a picture. Regardless of the language that you speak, if you see a painting or a photograph of a sunset, there's no need for an interpreter. Whether you're from, you know, the tip of South America or the North Pole or from the Philippines or from Shanghai in China, if a picture of a sunset is put before your face, all understand what they're looking at. And David blessed by God is telling us God put a picture in the heavens that declare his glory, the glory of Jesus Christ. And it says, there's speech nor language where their voice is, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, where the picture has gone out. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. this word, their line, now bear with me, folks. I'm not some kind of nut, but I'm about to get in to an area that very few have ever evidenced. God's control. God's, from the very beginning, God's control. I'm having a difficult time. You got to understand, and hopefully you will understand before we finish this morning, the difficulty of this. As I started, as I stated at the beginning, I can't find any commentators willing to take on what Paul, in this 18th verse of Romans 10, is really saying. He's quoting Psalm 119. Where God says the heavens declare his glory. He just said faith comes from hearing, and hearing the message about Christ. I'm going to state it and then attempt to give credence to the statement. Ladies and gentlemen, God has written his gospel in the stars. Now, I'm no astrologist. I remember one day had a visitor at the museum and was attempting to show to this woman God's total control, and wanted to share a book with her. The book was called The Glory of the Stars. And if you'd have seen the expression on her face, it looked like she just confronted a demon. Oh, that's astrology. Get away from me. That's inspired of the devil. Folks, I've told you many times before, where great truths of God exist, the devil is right there attempting to take and twist or cover them up, that the people of God might not be enlightened to the message about Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time, as in several messages, on this message. If it grabs you and you truly want to learn more, I have a book. I'll actually give it to you. It's called The Glory of the Stars by E. Raymond Capt. All you need to do is send me a message on the comment section of this website with your name and address. I'm not trying to create a mailing list. You know, you don't want it. Fine. Stay ignorant. But if you do want it, just send me a message. I'll send it to you at my expense. Now, so that's a book I'll make available to you. There are two other books that I'd recommend. You're going to have to go out and find them yourself. One is called The Witness of the Stars, and get a pencil out if you're interested, by E.W. Bullinger, B-U-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. Kriegel Books puts it out. Another book that I have is called The Gospel in the Stars by Joseph A. Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. These are two other books. If you're listening to me, you know how to use the internet. Find them yourselves. I guarantee you it's going to blow your mind. But in spite of how the world looks at this line that has gone out throughout the whole world, this line that has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, which Paul says, which Paul confirms, God wrote his message in the stars. In Genesis chapter 1. I'll get to it in a, you know, give me a moment. I want to kind of go slow on this stuff, because if I get going too fast, I'm going to leave something out. Not that this is going to be an all-encompassing message, but I hope that you'll get the gist of it. When in chapter 1 of Genesis, the word Genesis means beginnings, as it tells of God creating the world, and it says in the 14th verse, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. 16th verse says, and God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, if we go back to the 14th verse, God says of these lights in the firmament, and let them be for signs. Signs are to be read. There are pictures. There is no need for translation. The picture is a picture of itself. And from the very beginning, God wrote his gospel in the stars. And as I was looking for a witness, besides the three books that I've given to you, I can find no commentator, of some of whom are called the greatest commentators, available to us. And you know, they all want to reduce it to back to, Romans 1, where it says, You know, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the image, by the things that are made. They just want to talk about nature should give revelation and understanding to the whole world that there's God. I'm saying, Paul's saying, David said, God said, he declared his glory was declared in the heavens. Now, I didn't come up with this myself. I have often told you of Dr. Gene Scott, who probably had, before it was taken away from the world, he probably had, you know, 25 hours on this subject. That is the gospel in the stars. And as I said, where great truths of God are revealed, Satan is right there in an attempt, that is the God of this world, in an attempt to twist, pervert, or cover over that revelation of God. And the particular revelation that we're talking about is God showed forth his glory in the stars. Well, Don, you said that a few times now. You know, what are you talking about? Well, the first perversion, and I'm not talking astrology, but the first perversion about this message in the stars, you know, when you go to astrologers today, you know, horoscope and all that other crap, they want to start telling the story. You know, you go from Aries. See if I can find something quickly. You go from Aries to Pisces. That's the start and finish. This is heavy stuff, folks. Stay with me. But we've never really got into the subject of the Great Pyramid in Egypt. But alongside that Great Pyramid in Egypt, which I believe is God's message to a scientific, to a mathematical world in stone, alongside that pyramid is what's known as the Great Sphinx. And these are mysteries to many peoples, but God is attempting, not attempting, God has taken the mystery out of it, because when you look at the Sphinx, it tells you how to read the stars. It's the head of the woman, of a woman, and the body of a lion, and it is an indicator as to how to read the map. What map? The map God in the celestial equator of the earth, that is the zodiac. God tells you, start with the head of the woman and you end with the body of the lion. You begin in Virgo and you end in Leo. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this quickly. And I don't believe... No. I'm only touching on the subject if so moved, I will get into the greatest of details on this subject, but not in the middle of this teaching on Romans, this teaching about faith, this teaching about how faith comes by hearing the message about Christ. But when you look at the zodiac, the whole world looks up and sees the same thing. They see clusters of stars. And those who have given attention to it assign pictures in those stars. The amazing thing, they see pictures in those stars by connecting the stars. And in that first of the 12 signs of the zodiac, the whole world agrees of that sign, which is called Virgo. It is a picture of a virgin laying prostrate. But the most significant star in that constellation of the woman in her hand, the star is called Al-Zumak, meaning the branch. The most significant part of that picture is not the woman, but of the branch. God said. In Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. God had a plan. He's talking about Christ. Now, in this story, in this picture, in these pictures, which God laid out in the stars for signs which are to be read for us to see and understand, we have the 12 called major signs of the zodiac. They're not necessarily the largest constellations in the heavens, but they are the ones that are on that equatorial line that surrounds the earth. Each one of these signs carries or has associated with it three what are called decans, as in decks of a ship. In this first constellation of Virgo, which principal star, the largest star, the brightest star, is called the branch, we begin to see a picture of Christ in the decans, the three associated with the decans. There is coma. It's a picture of a woman with a child on her knee. And the concentration is on the child. The name means the desired one. Paul asks the question in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ." The desired one, the one who will deliver us from this body of death. The second decan that goes with in this sign of Virgo is Centaurus. You say, "Oh, now Don, I know that name." If you don't know that name, that's that two-natured being brought out in Greek mythology. You know, the head and shoulders of a man, the rest of the body of a horse. You know, God has a sense of humor. In this story, in this message about Jesus Christ, he pictures Jesus as a two-natured being. He, head and shoulders. That's a picture of Christ. The rest of us, the rear end of a horse. But he became kind with us. He took on, he had two natures. One both of God and of man. And that last decan in the constellation, or associated with the constellation of Virgo, is called Boötes. It's the coming one. It's a picture of a man with a shepherd's cane and with a sickle or a scythe. A picture of both one who shepherds and one who comes to cut down. And if we would go through all of these signs, we see pictures in each and every one of the constellations and the associated decans. We see Christ being presented. All that Dr. Scott's teaching were available. It's not. I'm not telling you I'm the next best thing, but I don't know who else is teaching this truth. Look, Paul put this 18th verse in here for a reason. I'm attempting to give substance to the reason when he says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the message about Christ." And then he quotes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." The scripture says, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men what God has in store." Old Testament says, "For those who wait for him." New Testament says, "For those who love him." We in this teaching have gone to the 73rd Psalm when David declares, "Whom have I in heaven save you? And there is none on the earth that I desire but you." And he concludes that it is good for me to trust in the Lord that I might declare all his works. All thy works. I'm declaring unto you a work of God that most of you, all of you, including me until I was taught, never had any idea. About God showing himself off, showing off his glory, which is Christ Jesus, in the stars. As I said, proper understanding. And you correct misuse by proper use, proper understanding of this message, of God's message in the stars, is you start with Virgo and you end with Leo, the lion. Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In this constellation, we see a coming of Jesus Christ, his second coming. From Virgo up to Leo, Christ is put on display, his work is put on display, his church is put on display, his grace is put on display, his struggle is put on display, and in this last constellation of Leo, his wrath is put on display. The three decans associated with this constellation of Leo are Hydra, the serpent, Crater, the cup, and Corvus, the raven. And associated with Christ's second coming, you have this Hydra, the great serpent, wherein the cup of God's wrath is being poured out upon it. And you have the Corvus, Just give me a minute. The final picture is of a raven, the bird of prey, grasping the body of Hydra, the serpent, with its feet and tearing the serpent's body with its beak. And the Hebrew name is Areb, the raven. The Egyptian called it Herna, meaning the enemy broken. Every star name in this sign portends judgment and destruction. The brightest star in the eye is called Al-Chabir, meaning the curse inflicted. The next star in the right wing is named Al-Ghareb, Arabic, from the Hebrew Orel, the raven. The third star is named Minchar Al-Gharab, which means the raven teareth to pieces. I think there's just a wonderful summary. That allow me, if you will, to read from that little book that I'll give to you if you comment, if you contact me through the comment section of this website. Capt closes, it says, "We began with Virgo and we ended with Leo, and found the origin and purpose of the zodiac. There can be no question but that the gospel glows in these heavenly constellations with all the luster of the stars themselves. God has been, all through the ages, proclaiming from the starry skies the glories, sufferings, triumphs of the Virgin's Child. Can we close our eyes to the testament of the stars? To do so is to go against the laws of evidence. Can there be any doubt but that the zodiac is a primeval fountain of divine truth? If there is, it is against the principles of logic. The zodiac is primeval. Bible astrology, symbology in astronomy. The earliest revelation to mankind from his creator. Satan perverted God's astrology, substituting in its place mythological system designed to control the entire world through fortune-telling, sorcery, and witchcraft. Horoscopic astrology speaks of mysterious influences which emanate from the houses of the heavens, which relate to the signs of the zodiac affecting earthly creatures, either favorable or adversely, depending upon how man relates himself to those strange forces. Biblical astrology, on the contrary, has nothing at all to say about the forces influencing your destiny. It is simply the telling of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the names which God gave the stars. Biblical astrology proclaims the story of the one whose self-given name is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, who dwelt in the midst of the 12 tribes of Israel that they might behold his glory. It is evident that after the original meanings of the constellations became lost, nations invented stories from their imaginations. The Greek mythology is an erroneous interpretation of the signs after their true meaning had been forgotten. The heathen, in their blindness, could not understand the celestial story and did not know what to make of the foreshowing. But in the light of God's fuller revelation found in the scriptures, we read the origin and meaning of it all. As we read the names of the stars, beginning with Virgo, the Virgin, and learn of the seed and the branch, and compare scripture with scripture, where these names are found, we find the signs of the zodiac with their related constellations, and individual stars preach the gospel of Christ. These are the holy prophets spoken of by Zacharias. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he says, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Only the star messengers of God, created and named in the day that God made the heavens and the earth, the constellations of the zodiac, fit that description. Our God is a God who knew the end from the beginning. He laid out the perfect plan before he created a single thing. He pictorially inscribed it in the everlasting stars from the beginning. This perfect plan included and determined all the events of history in the most minute detail, with one central purpose: to reveal his glory in Jesus Christ. In spite of its confusion and conflicting doctrines, only in Christianity can be found the fountain, the fundamental idea of the gospel of the stars. Ancient religions may imitate crucified saviors, modern religions may corrupt the words of the book, but neither can touch the stars in the heavens that do declare the glory of God as embodied in the person, mission, work, and redemptive achievements of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. His doctrine, that is what is to stun. His doctrine, that is what's to make us amazed. We often take for granted, but I believe, I am confident that Paul, in this 18th verse of Romans 10, wanted us to stop and look at, see the picture, hear the words that have gone unto the ends of the world. When we stay in our traditions, we make void the Word of God. Folks, this voice is not beholden to any group, any denomination, any congregation, for its existence. And it is a free voice that is expounding the truth of the Word of God, which God even made known throughout the whole world in the signs He set into the heavens. And signs are to be read. If you are so led, expose yourselves to this amazing doctrine, for it will edify you, it will strengthen your faith, it will give even more substance to what God in His gospel is doing, which is that faith might come, that because of faith, God puts the substance of Christ in us, and furthermore, puts us in Christ. Where no accusation has any strength, for what Christ has done is take away that which we are guilty of. And what God has done is He has put us in Christ, where we shall rule and reign with Him throughout eternity. Now, that's the message. I have a little P.S. So today's the 28th of September. We just endured, it's a word I'm going to use, a week of being exposed to the visit, to the adoration by the visit of the Pope, I'll be honest with you, I could hardly stand it. I'm not, these comments are not made to judge, I don't remember what his given name was, but that man called today Francis, he's the Pope. But I watched and witnessed was given as he craftily used Scripture to support his own message and not the message of God, wherein, in particular, he came and visited in these, you know, high holy days, these set times of God, where God's faithfulness is put on display, as it is a time that Christ was born. It was a time, scripturally speaking, where the inhabitants of Israel were commanded to travel to Jerusalem, to the house of God at that time. You know, the way Luke describes it, they went by command of Caesar. But if you have the context of Scripture, what happened was, as the people of God were commanded to go to Jerusalem to celebrate these fall set times of God, the Romans saw it, and there they took advantage, since all the people came to them, to tax the people. It wasn't by Roman order they came. It was by God's order when he said, three times you'll come to Jerusalem, at Passover, at Pentecost, and at the fall feast days. It was this time that Jesus Christ was born. And I and the world have to suffer the crafty use of this one who's supposedly a representative of Christ on the earth when he says Jesus Christ was born homeless. Read the scriptures. It said they traveled from Galilee. There was a home. He had a home in Nazareth, though not long. But nonetheless, a home. And to promote the agenda to do even more for the poor of this world, this man, supposedly of God, craftily uses the scripture and says Jesus Christ was born homeless. That's a lie born out of the pit of hell. Hey, in the eyes of the world, a good man. In my eyes, maybe a good man, but not a messenger of God. Those who use scripture craftily, go all the way back to the days of Paul. I'm quoting Paul, who says there are many that use scripture craftily. We are not of those, Paul says. I say, I am not of those. And by the grace of God, I attempt to show off his glory, his power, and his grace unto all those who put their trust in him. That's the God School for today.